thinking that if this goes the way that I'm praying that it'll go, that this might be one of those interactive messages. That means you need to be doing something besides sitting there like a knot on a log. Shout now! Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just kidding with you there. But I do hope that it'll be interactive for us. But if you got your Bibles this morning, this is, it's already mentioned, I think we've put that point across that this is Palm Sunday. And want to be looking, I leaned over as when Brother Cruz was up here talking, I leaned over to Sister Brittany and I said, you know, I think he's about to preach my message here this morning if he's not careful. But I want us to just take a look at Luke chapter 19 and begin reading at verse 33 through 40. And if you'd like to stand with us for the reading of the Word of the Lord, we'd appreciate that tremendously. I tell you, gotta love the Word of the Lord. I remember years ago, somebody, I don't remember who said it. It's not my original, but it's somebody's original. They said, you got to love it, you got to live it. And I think there's something else went with that, and I done forgot what it was, but it's pretty good. But it's anyway, you got to love the Word of God, you need to live the Word of God. And that's important. That's what we want to strive for here this morning. But if you got, I think the words are on the screen here that we're going to be looking at. But it starts off in verse 33. I want to begin reading there. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. And they cast their garments upon the colt. And they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees, get this, from among the multitude said unto them, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Praise God. Would you just stretch your hand this way and ask the Lord to help us today? Father, we just love you. We glorify you because great are you and so greatly to be praised. We honor you. We give you praise and honor in the house today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk to us today about those rocks, about those stones. And now, you consider the church as a whole today. Many folks expect a church service to be quiet, reserved, nobody going to say anything. In fact, there are probably some pastors, preachers standing in the pulpit today preaching, and probably if somebody let out a big amen, he'd probably pass out scared to death. Amen. Amen. But you know, it's like one fellow said this. He said like dinosaurs, there's a lot of they're big and they grow and stuff, but they just don't do anything today. Most of them are just dead, and you know, I've always said this: anything dead ought to be buried. If you can't resurrect it, bury it. You know, some folks. I was sharing with the Sunday school class this morning. I was talking with a lady that I work with this morning, just this morning, and at work, and we were talking about church, And one young lady, I was mentioning about tithes, and we were discussing that, and she didn't even know what a tithe was. And you said, and we explained to her what that was. You said, she said, you mean people pay money to the church? I said, well, how else would the lights stay on? You know, how else will we have what we have? How will we support missions? How will we do some of the things? And she said the last time she went to church, with this one girl said that the last time she went to church was when she was 8 years old. And somebody said something that got her all upset at 8 years old, and she's still upset about it. I'm not sure how an 8-year-old gets that upset, but I guess they do. I guess they probably do. But anyway, what we're looking at, you know, when we think about a church, what makes up a great church? I believe that Broadway Assembly is a great church. I believe there's a great group of people right here at Broadway Assembly. And, when we talk about a great church, we're not talking about a beautiful building, although it's nice. We got a great place to worship here. We're not talking about a lot of money. We're not talking about the building, the programs, the size. We're not talking about the fact that, we're not a mega church. We're a pretty good sized group, you know. I've pastored folks I pastored a church where the average attendance might have been 40. I temporarily pastored a church, filled in for a pastor, and I think we might have started with about 15. And they all sat in the back pews. And one of the things that they complimented me about after I'd been filling in there, because I didn't have a pastor for a while, is that actually a different denomination. They complimented me before I left. They said, the one thing that you did for us, you got us to move to the front pews. Hey, whatever it takes, folks. God will move. But you know, we got a lot of folks like to come to the front pews. That's good. That's really good here. Amen. But when we think about it, I want us to look at, I believe that there are three ingredients that are necessary in the life of a church for it to be called great. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? Now, the title of my message this morning is going to be this, or is this, Don't Want No Rocks to Be Praising for Me. And I said this kind of an interactive thing. But, you know, in order for a great church, we need some saints that are praying. We need the sound. We need sound preaching. And we need stirring praise. And that's really where we're going to be going this morning. Because as we read the story here in the Scriptures, it is said that, you remember the story, Jesus was going into close to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples were around about him. And they were doing some things. They were getting excited. They were, because this was their king that was coming. And they went out, they got the colt, they set him on it. He didn't get up there by himself. They lifted him up, they raised him up, and they set him there. And they were praising. I mean, they were loud. And of course, you realize a lot of times, I brought this bag, it says shoe bag on it, but it's all I could find to put in what I got here this morning. But I said I want to do some illustrations, and I got some rocks, some stones here. And I want to throw those out there for a little bit. And I'll put some around here. I got quite a few of them here. I'll share. These are not for you to take home unless you just really want to. I got them out of one of those water fountain things. I guess you could take them home because when I had that thing on, I haven't even turned that fountain on. And ten years. So I probably really don't need these rocks. But if you need a souvenir this morning, you can. All right. But here, there's some stones here. Now look at the one thing that Jesus was telling those when they started to complain about what? The noise. They got to complaining about the noise. Now listen, if you are nervous this morning, it might be wise for you to go ahead and pop you a Valium or an Ativan or something real quick before we get too wound up. Because I've got a feeling, I'm hoping that we're going to get wound up here this morning. I mean, I've heard pastors say several times, and I really agree with you, we are a, what kind of church? That one lady I was talking to when we got talking about church, and she mentioned about her church, and she said, well, I'll go to church this morning, and then I'll leave any way I want to all next week. And then I'll go back to church next Sunday, and it'll be all right. That's the way a lot of folks act that. That's the way a lot of folks do these days. You know, just go ahead and make things right on Sunday. And I think we call that Sunday Christians. Y'all ever heard that term? But anyway, we're going to be talking about some things here. We said that a church that is a great church has stirring praise. Now, for our time together this morning, I want us to be called a praising church. Now, what did Jesus say about these folks that was complaining about the noise and about those disciples that were praising? He said, if these were to keep silent, what did he say was going to happen? The stones, the rocks would be crying out. Everybody get real quiet for a minute. Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? Isn't that strange for Broadway? I mean, one of the things we used to do when I used to do group therapy for the psych group. And one of the things, one of our techniques was that in that group, you just, the leader just doesn't say anything. You just have folks sitting around in that circle and you don't say anything. And you know what's going to happen? They say the most anxious person, the person that's got the greatest amount of anxiety in that group, they're going to say something. Now, I'm not anxious today. I'm excited. And I don't mind saying something this morning. I don't mind. Hey, there's some stones around here. And I've got a God that I want to praise. I've got a king that's on the throne. I've got a king that's coming back for his church. Amen. And the next time he comes, he's not going to be riding on a donkey. He's going to be riding on a white horse when we come with him. He's going to call for his, the next time he comes to earth. We're going to be caught up as slaves. We're going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm looking forward to that. Hey, I don't want these rocks praising for me. I don't want these stones out here praising for me. Now, somebody says, well, what about praise? You know, how are we to praise the Lord? How do we do it? We can do it in a number of ways, and I want to share some of those ways with you this morning. I want to talk about how we are instructed in the Word of God to praise Him. I believe that God inhabits the praises of His people. We want God to come in this place this morning, praise Him. You want victory in your life, praise the name of the Lord. You want to get a hold of God, you want God to move for you, learn how to praise Him. In the middle of your trials, in the middle of your tests, in the middle of your suffering, praise Him. He is worthy to be praised. We've already been singing about it this morning. I will call on the name of the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Now, here's what the Bible says about praise. Praise is not quiet, reserved. Praise God with praise which can be heard. Psalm 66 and 8 says this, oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard. Oh, bless the Lord, and let your voice be heard to Him. With your voice, praise Him. With your voice, let it be heard. Now, I know the Lord can hear your heart. I know the Lord reads our heart. He has our heartbeat. But you know, this says we ought to praise Him where it can be heard. The fact is, you can't hear my heart praising. How do you hear me praise? When you lift up your voice and you cry out to the Lord and you praise Him with your voice. I cried unto Him. He was extolled, and high praise was under my tongue. God commanded us in His Word to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The next thing, we praise God with singing. Sing praise unto God. Sing praise unto our King. Sing praises. That's Psalm 47 and verse 6. Amen. We are to praise God with shouting. What is shouting? Where I grew up, shouting was when somebody hollered, "Woo!" Where I grew up, that's how they hollered, "Glory!" Amen. The Bible commands us to shout to God with a voice of triumph and song of joy. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. What does that mean? That means that you have got the victory and you're going to praise Him and you're going to glorify Him. I thought for a minute, if I could just maybe, I said we want to be interactive here this morning. I just wonder, how many of y'all got a good imagination? Now, I know where I'm at this morning, and I was talking to somebody just yesterday about this. I don't think I have ever been in an area that is as sports-minded as what we are in this part of Ohio. Now, I got a feeling every one of y'all has been to a football game or a basketball game or a baseball game or some other kind of game. And when your team made a touchdown or made a basket, you just stood there and you said, "Oh, my team's great." I believe I will. I better not. I was just about to pick on somebody there, but I better not. Now, tell me something. You that have been in that situation, what happened in that stadium or what happened in that arena when your team did something right? How'd you do? How'd the rest of you do? You said, "Come on, woo!" And you jumped. And you hollered. I remember in Cincinnati not too long ago, there was a woman came to one of our churches there, and folks was getting loud and getting excited, and she got so upset with them. Amen. And she complained about how loud they was at that Pentecostal church. And behold, the next Sunday in the Cincinnati Inquirer, her picture was right there in the sports section, and she had standing up with her hands lifted up, and she was having her time. Now, if we can do that for some of that stuff, we sure ought to be worshiping our King. We sure ought to be making a joyful noise to our King. Why? Because He's the one that saved us. Because, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Because He's the one that has redeemed us. He's the one that has saved us. He's the one that has washed us in His blood. We got a reason to worship this morning. We got a reason to praise this morning. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. We need to praise Him with thanksgiving. We need to praise Him, being thankful for what He's done. Psalm 69 and 30 says this, "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving." What have you got to thank God for this morning? What can you thank Him for? Are you saved? Be thankful. You got a family in church? Be doubly thankful. Hallelujah. You got a good church to go to? Glorify Him. Be thankful for it. Hallelujah. Next thing, praise God with a joyful noise. I thought for a minute ago that y'all was going to get really loud there. I was getting nervous. I was afraid y'all was going to start hooping and hollering, carrying on. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 66. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Make his praise glorious. Make his praise glorious. We need to magnify him. Hallelujah. Why? Because I'm saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I owe him everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise God with crying out. Is this strange to you all? Praise God with crying out. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 6 says this. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Hallelujah. The Lord God Almighty, the Lord God Omnipotent is mighty in this place this morning. Hallelujah. He is mighty. How do we praise him? I'm telling you how. Hallelujah. We praise God with speaking in tongues. Now let me tell you something. There's a praying in tongues that does not have to be interpreted. There is a gift of the Holy Ghost. There's a gift of tongues. There's a gift of interpretation. But this is a gift. This is simply praising God. If you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you ought to be praising God every single day that you live. Hallelujah. Amen. When the 120 that were gathered together in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, amen, the Holy Ghost fell on them and they all began to speak in tongues. They all began to glorify the Lord. How did they know they were filled with the Holy Ghost? Because they heard them speak with other tongues. They were praising. They were worshiping him. Peter, Peter told them, this is that spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, my spirit I'll pour out. That is one of the methods of praising God. Look at it. Hallelujah. We praise God in a laughter. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongues with singing. And then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for them. Wherefore, we're glad. The Lord has done great things for you and me. We need to be glad in it. Well, I'm going back and ask you this question. What did he do for you? Anybody here been healed? Raise your hand if you have. Anybody here had God put food on your table when you didn't have a dime for nothing and God provided for you? Is there anybody here that God has saved your wayward children? Is there anybody here that you can worship God because he has done great things for us? Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Oh, my. It said that when we realize the Lord, hey, Saint of God, God has turned your captivity into liberty. You've got a right to worship. You've got a right. You know what? It's all right to laugh in church. Some folks think that's sacrilegious, to laugh in church. Hey, God is the author of laughter. Woo! Amen, amen. Praise God with musical instruments. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with the harp. Praise unto Him with the psaltery. And an instrument of 10 strings. I wish we had a bunch of 10-string guitars around here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Him with music. It is strange. You got some folks that don't believe in music in church. And they say, well, it's not in the New Testament. They haven't read the book of Revelation, have they? I mean, it just makes sense. One fellow said it like this. He said, in the Old Testament, there's musical instruments all the way through it. And then in heaven, there's going to be music again. It just means to understand that God loves music. If He loved it in the Old Testament, it doesn't make sense. He's going to hate it in our day and love it again when we get to heaven. That just don't make no sense, does it? God makes sense. I'm talking about how do we need to praise the Lord? We praise Him with musical instruments. I love it. I love it. We praise God by bowing and kneeling before Him. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Praise God. Now, I better clarify myself right here real quick. Different people have different temperaments. And different people can praise God in different ways. It's not always being loud. But boy, it sure does feel good when it happens. Ronnie Henson, of the Henson family, they was at our church years ago for revival in Kentucky. And he was talking, I think he said this on one of his albums. He was talking about, said he went to one church, and this lady says, you don't have to act like that when you go to church. He looked at her and says, I don't have to take a bath either, but it sure does feel good. Come on, laugh a little bit more, will you? It's contagious. Go ahead, laugh a little bit more. It's contagious. It'll catch on to somebody else here in a minute. Praise God. Hallelujah. But that's what he's talking about is praising God. Sometimes some folks are just, like me, quiet and reserved. Oh, I wish I had time to tell you a story about my wife, but I ain't got time to tell you about that. But there's something about the Holy Ghost that sets you on fire. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God with falling prostrate before Him. Falling before His presence. Oh God. Being so overcome with His presence. Being so overwhelmed by Him that you just can't stand up any longer. And you just lay before the Lord and you worship Him like that. You just worship Him in His presence, enjoying the goodness of the Lord. Here's an easy one for you. Praise God with the clapping of your hands. Psalm 47:1 says this, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph.
Yes, I got victory. Woo! I feel victory in the house this morning.
Well, what is a hand clap of praise? It's giving it all you got. It's giving it all you got. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God with the lifting up of your hands. Psalm. Are you noticing all these scriptures in Psalms? Hey, if you want to get encouraged, read Psalms. If you're feeling depressed, repressed, repossessed, or oppressed, look into the book of Psalms and start doing what it says to do and see what will happen to you. I will bless the Lord while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! I don't know if y'all are ready for this one or not. You probably aren't. Oh. Oh my. Sister Porter, I'm a fixin' to get wound up a little bit here. I don't know if you're ready for this or not. This is what the Bible says. Are we a Bible-believing church? Praise God with a dance. Psalm 150 and 4 says, praise Him with the dance. Well, in the Old Testament, what happened after they went across the Red Sea? It says that Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand, and all of the women, they went out with her with timbrels and with dancing. When the Ark of the Covenant was brought back and David looked out and he saw the Ark coming up the road, the Bible said he began to dance before the Lord with all his might. He wasn't doing the hee-choo-coo-chee. He wasn't doing the hula. He wasn't doing the whatever some of the things is they do. They call that dancing, I guess. They just stand there and just... But you know what dancing? Dancing means... something going on with the feet. Hey, the Holy Ghost will set your feet a dancing. It'll thrill you through and through. The Holy Ghost will set your feet a dancing and set your heart a dancing too. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. When do you dance? Oh, I got to feel it from the top of my head to the sole of my feet till I can't hardly stay in one place. That ain't what it said. It says, praise Him with a dance. Now, in Kentucky, it might just be the Kentucky two-step. It might be the Indian on the warpath. Hallelujah. It's hard telling what I might do when I really get to feeling like I want to worship the Lord in a dance. And hey, it's okay. That's the thing I want us to understand. It's okay to worship God. Hallelujah. I'm talking about a few ways here. I'm talking about Pastor. My time is running out in a hurry. Hallelujah. That's some ways we ought to praise Him. So why are we to praise the Lord? Number one, because of who He is. He is our Lord. Amen. He is Elohim. He is strong one. He is Jehovah, the self-existent one. He is Adonai, the master. He is our creator. He is our shepherd. Amen. Because of who He is and because what He is good. He is merciful. He is altogether lovely. He is wonderful. He is the most precious one that we've ever encountered. He is truthful. Glory. Where are we to praise Him? The Bible tells us that everywhere in general is good to praise God. The church in particular ought to be praising God. The church in particular ought to be the place, especially where we praise the Lord. And when are we to praise Him? The Bible says all generations ought to be doing it. I'm saying, I don't want these rocks to cry out in my place. I'm just about forget what time it is right now. I am just about ready to forget about time. Hallelujah. Now we understand not everybody's emotional. But you know what? You still need to find a place that you can praise God and magnify Him.
you still ought to find one of these things that you can praise Him with. You don't have to be emotional. Clap your hands. You don't have to be emotional to lift your voice and love the Lord. You don't have to be emotional to raise your hand. I don't know if I ever told y'all, but I was not raised in a Pentecostal church. I was preaching a meeting at a Pentecostal church, and my parents came, and folks came around the front, and mom and dad came. And they were Christians. They loved the Lord. And folks were just lifting their hands and praising the Lord. I looked over, and there was Daddy. He was about half-mast. That's about all he could get, was just about that much. Hallelujah. Oh, there's a lot of ways you can lift your hands. If it's half-mast, lift them half-mast and praise Him. If it's like this, lift them and praise Him. If it's like that, I like it like that. You know why I do it like this? Because there was a time in my life that this shoulder was so out of whack that I could not lift my hands beyond that much. But now God touched me and I can lift my arms all the way. And because of that, I want to lift my hands and praise Him. Because of that, I want to give Him glory. Now, let's go back. Let's go back there into Luke. Let's go back there into Palm Sunday. We've talked about worship. We've talked about praise. We've talked about our adoration. We've talked about magnifying the Lord. Amen. I wonder this morning, could I get just about a dozen or more? When they saw the King, what did they do? Why do we call it Palm Sunday? I need about a dozen folks that have come up here and get a hold of one of these. These are what palm leaves are. Just stay right up here if you will. Just stay right up here close by. Everybody that will. You don't have to be 12. Just get all that will if you'll come. I think I've got about 40 or 50 of them here. Hey, man, it might be a little, it might be a big one. Just go ahead. And we're going to do something with these in a minute. I told you we want this to be an interactive thing. This is going to be interactive. We're going to enter and we're going to act. No, we're not going to act. We're going to do the real thing. Hallelujah. Amen. There's some of them there on the floor. Somebody else. Anybody? We still got plenty of them. There's still plenty of them. Anybody else want one or two or three or four? Hallelujah. All right. There. Amen. There comes somebody else there. Anybody else one? You know what the palm leaf is a symbol of? Victory. Victory. Woo! Oh, Sister Deja. I want to see healing in her life. Go ahead and take one of those sis. Go ahead. Yeah, come on. Come on, come on. Come on. You can just spread right across that way if you want to. Anybody else want one here? We got. All right. If anybody changes your mind, because listen, we got a King that's coming. And He is victorious. And because of who He is, we are victorious. No wonder they begin to stand with me, if you will. Y'all come on and start singing, will you? Hey, man, y'all, everybody that wants, I just want to invite you to come and just enjoy praising the Lord. I want you to come and just worship God. Amen. They begin to do what? They had palm leaves that they waved before Him because it was a sign of a victorious King. It was a victorious conqueror. He was victorious in healing. He was victorious in everything that He did. Anybody else want to come this morning? I want to invite you to come on and let's have a time of praise and worshiping the Lord as they sing it. Come on.
Surrendering my all.
You need victory this morning. Come on.
I surrender to
you. Need help from heaven this morning. Come on. You need something from God.
Oh, let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing.
Let the worshipers arise.
I'm surrendering my all.
Oh, it's palms of victory this morning.
I surrender to you.